much about.
Men, I'm not going to waste any more of your time than I have to. I want to wish you good luck on today's mission. To those of you who won't be coming back, I'd like to say we're going to do our best to take care of your wives and or sweethearts. Everyone ready to go?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Got a message for all you kids out there. I know everyone says, oh, you can do whatever you want if you put your mind to it. It's all one big lie. Crushing disappointment. So, give up on your dream.
I have ideas that can make the human race existence within our 100 years better. Period.
You're just absolutely right. And I'm absolutely wrong. It must be nice to always believe you know better. To always think you're the smartest person in the room.
No, it's awful.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Am I on the air?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hell yeah.
Roll a
I get it.
This one seems to be about to quit.
But you're wrong.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
That's a deal.
Why?
Roll.
Flatulent.
Just like the other one.
I'm a scientist.
This one seems to be about to end.
Whatever that is.
I don't have another cent.
I'm gonna quote a great man here and say, Daddy likey.
I've come a long way since Kazan.
Just pass it around.
That's racist.
Have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
I just pass it on down.
And now.
You know what I keep asking myself?
Why? Why didn't the Seahawks just give the ball to Marshawn?
Our feature presentation.
Right? Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 15th of September. I want to start today with Alex Jones.
Oh,
and
no.
InfoWars.
What did he do?
Alex Jones is a conspiracy theorist, and he has a site called InfoWars, and you can watch him rant and rave like a crazy person.
Yeah, he's a lunatic.
And we've highlighted him on many different occasions. But on this particular occasion, I found some tape of him, and I feel like he's in a weird position because he's always the outsider criticizing the government as all being evil people. Well, now Donald Trump's the president, and he sort of helped him, so we're... Where does that leave him?
Right.
So now Alex Jones needs to move away from the president and take a different position.
Oh, no.
So you're about to hear what's happening to the president of the United States, if you believe Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, I was told this by high-level sources, and it was evident, and especially after Reagan was shot in his first year in office, when he was acting like Trump and doing the right things, that he never really recovered. They gave him cold blood. And it's transfusion that causes brain damage.
All right. So first of all, they gave the president cold blood.
Okay.
So that he wouldn't recover.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes brain damage, first of all.
That explains some
and
stuff.
And it's pretty simple to get to a president of the United States, as far as I understand.
And you don't really notice when you're getting a blood transfusion.
Right. Exactly.
They slowly gave him small amounts of sedatives. It's known that most presidents end up getting drugged.
It is known that most presidents get up being drugged.
Like when you have to give your dog a pill, you put it in like a treat,
that
type of thing.
The dog doesn't know he's getting it.
Yeah.
All presidents have been drugged. Did you know that?
He does like ice cream.
Small dosages of sedatives till they build it up.
Uh-huh.
Trump's such a bull. he hasn't fully understood it yet. But I've talked to people, multiple ones, that, and they believe that they are putting a slow sedative that they're building up that's also addictive in his Diet Cokes.
Now,
okay.
I assume that would be easy, right? You just go to the White House and you go, hey, can I look at the Diet Coke the president's about to drink?
Yeah.
I have some drugs that I'd like to put in it. Or maybe you don't announce that, but it seems...
I don't think you announce
okay.
it. Okay. Yeah, you might blog about it, but make
right.
it a private blog.
Right, sure.
Yeah. Here's the thing. He's been president for, what, 9 months, whatever?
Yeah.
Why are they starting so soon to drug him? Shouldn't they wait a little bit, or do they just need to get to him early?
I'm not positive if Alex mentions that in this particular rant, but I think it's because he's too effective.
Got it.
It is what Alex Jones is saying.
Yeah. Okay.
All presidents have been drugged is the main point here.
And in his iced tea, and that the president by 6 or 7 at night is basically slurring his words and is drugged.
Hey, that's what's been happening to me then.
We have been drugging you, Kevin.
You've been putting sedatives in my Diet Coke?
In your Diet Coke and your cupcakes.
What?
Yeah.
Now, first they had to isolate him to do that, but yes... Ladies and gentlemen, I've talked to people that talk to the president now at 9 at night. He is slurring his words.
Right.
And I'm going to leave it at that. I've talked to folks that have talked to him directly. So notice, oh, he's mentally ill. Oh, he's got Alzheimer's. They isolate him. Then you start slowly building up the dose.
Right.
But instead of titrating it like poison, like venom of a cobra or a rattlesnake or a water moccasin, where you build it up slowly so that you get a...
You know,
a cobra, a rattlesnake, water moccasin.
Or a water moccasin. The deadliest animal on the planet.
Terrifying.
Immunity to it. You're building it slowly so the person doesn't notice it. First, it's almost zero, just a tiny bit. And then a little more. And then your brain subconsciously becomes addicted to it and wants it.
Right.
And so as the dose gets bigger and bigger, you get more comfortable in it. The president's about 2 months into being covertly drugged.
Oh.
Now, I'm risking my life, by the way, telling you all this.
Oh, my God. I hope he's somewhere safe.
I hope he's not.
I was physically sick before I went on air because I'm smart. I don't mean that in a braggadocious way. I mean, I'm not dumb.
No right. That's not braggadocious at all.
The information you're going to get today is super dangerous. In fact, I'm tempted just to let it out now so they don't cut the show off or something before this goes out. I mean, this is the kind of thing that gets you killed. So you can see all the scripting. The president had the exact right response to Charlottesville. Both sides are horrible. The white supremacists are horrible. The Antifa with clubs beating people and starting, it's horrible.
No one's fun
about George Soros.
All right, so he's still on Trump's side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A month later, 3 weeks later, oh, they're right. We decry Antifa. Because they have to, because they've gotten so vicious, attacking prayer meetings, you name it. He was right. But see, the sluggishness now. He's not burnt out. He's not tired. He loves energy. He loves people. He loved always working 16 hours a day.
Right.
Suddenly, though, it's not the stress of the job.
Uh-huh.
It's not them, oh, look, he's having mental collapse, so he can't help it. It's that they start drugging these presidents.
I mean, that was a revelation to me.
Was it?
I was shocked by that. Did you know that they were drugging the presidents? They have been this whole time?
I didn't, and I'm afraid that we played that now we're in danger.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
Here's the terrifying thing. First, he's a lunatic and a nutball.
I don't know for sure. I think he sits down and he writes fiction. He just makes S up.
Oh, absolutely makes it up.
I don't know if he believes it.
Well,
I know the people who listen. There are people who listen to believe it.
It's almost worse if he doesn't believe it.
Yeah,
because he knows what he's doing.
Right, I think so.
But the terrifying thing is, there are people listening to this right now that are like, "He made a lot of sense."
Right.
I agree. This is
the president
scary.
Does slur like around 9 p.m.
I mean, oh, jeez.
So I just like to announce that's what's been happening to me since I started working here at K-Rock.
Then it's a really slow build
for
you.
They're not doing it quickly.
No.
It's a very, very slow build. It's just a tiny amount each day, but...
It adds up.
It does. And then as the show goes on... What?
But you start sleeping way before 9 p.m.
I think he meant 9 a.m. Did you mean 9 a.m.?
Sure. Whatever works in the timeline for me. I'm happy with that. However it works out. Shut up, Chip.
Chip, can you go grab him his Diet Coke?
Yeah, I need a Diet Coke if you don't mind.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why don't you shut up for about a week?
Keep it 100 because it's Friday.
Yes.
We love that feature. You get to text in and request any song that we have in the K-Rock library, and we'll play it for you. Mike Catherwood will join us. He did stand-up comedy for the first time last night.
Oh, my goodness.
Can't wait to hear about that.
Same.
Michael Schneider will be here and give us an Emmys preview. The Emmys are Sunday night.
Yeah.
We have RJ Bell on from Vegas telling us about his week two picks for the NFL.
Over under on him saying hunder.
Hunder?
When he means 100.
Oh.
He does it all the time. I love it.
Does he?
Hunder. What?
Then I'm going to say, well, I don't know, over under. What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know how to bet. That's why I listen to RJ.
You have to give a number and then people can say over or under.
Three.
Okay. I'm going to go under. Movie Beat, because it's Friday. We've got your tickets for Prophets of Rage in the HD Radio Sound Space, and we've got Dylan O'Brien, the star of American Assassin.
Oh, you can't wait. I heard yesterday you said you love assassins.
I mean, I may have said it that way, but that's only because I'm being drugged in my tea and in my Diet Coke.
Okay.
Slowly, they're putting that in there. So I start to slur around whatever time that was. I love movies about assassins is what I meant to say.
Yeah, but you said I love assassins.
I mean, I don't think there's any recorded proof of that, so I'm going to just deny it.
Okay.
We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
Ralph Garman is here now.
What are you doing? What are you thinking?
Time for a look at the show business.
You have a radio and say, oh, I'll turn into this thing. This is a good thing to listen to.
Right.
What are you thinking? This guy's been drugged since 1993.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You get the other one who's murdered.
What?
What?
Obsessed with murdering people dying.
Puppets.
Puppets. You got a Miami Dolphins fan. What the hell are you doing? Someone help me. Get me out. There may or may not be show business news.
There may or may not be.
Having a little bit of a printer issue in the other room.
Okay.
Just got a stall and hoping someone would run in with a bunch of papers.
Oh, there's the guy that just ran in with the papers.
With some papers.
You should just said it earlier.
Well,
I'm being drugged.
When did they start drugging him this morning? At what time?
I made Chip go out during the story.
Were the drugs administered?
Yeah.
Wow, he's got so much venom in him. Those water moccasins.
Water moccasin, right?
Yeah. Poor Selena Gomez. She was more ill than she ever let on.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew indeed? Selena suffers from lupus, and because of her disease, her kidneys were failing. So she had to get a kidney transplant this summer. A good friend named Francia Reza happily donated one of her kidneys, and Selena broke the news on Instagram, thanking her family, her incredible team of doctors, and saying there just aren't words to describe how to show gratitude for her friend. I can imagine. That's an obligation. You have to help her move forever.
Right.
Whatever she needs, right?
Yeah.
Any, like, lift to the airport, whatever she
absolutely
needs. You're kind of on the hook. It might be better to die.
Really. I don't think that's
no.
Then to owe this girl forever. Oh, you know, my feet really hurt. I can use a foot rub. Okay.
Come on.
You can't say no to her ever.
You gave me a kidney 45 years ago. How long does this have to go on?
Okay, fine. Well, you're lucky you had those 45 years. You wouldn't have had them without me. Okay. Right?
That is amazing, though.
Sad news for love. Fergie and Josh Duhamel. Calling it quits.
What?
They were our Gable and Lombard. They were our Bogart and Bacall. They were our.
Were they?
No,
they weren't.
Actually. Not at all.
Here's their statement: with absolute love and respect, we decided to separate as a couple earlier this year. People who break up in Hollywood just love each other so much.
They do. It's really
surprising
great.
They break up as much as they love each other. They began dating back in 2004, got married in 2009, and always the saddest part, have a 4-year-old son named Axel, who now has got to deal with that and their BS. Dancing with the Stars, right?
Right.
RadarOnline.com's got the scoop, the gossip from the set. Apparently, not everybody's getting along with everybody.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Vanessa Lachey apparently is not making any new friends over there on Dancing with the Stars. According to sources who work there, she is really behaving like a big diva. Her ego is through the roof. And the good news, Vanessa and Nick have been spotted bickering backstage.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's fun for everyone.
That's really going to be great for the whole show and the atmosphere.
Oh, nothing better than a couple just sniping at each other while you're trying to do the lambada or whatever it is that this week's dance is. And Allie, get out your checkbook.
Okay.
I don't see you getting it out.
I mean, he did say...
Oh, right now?
You agreed.
Yeah. Okay, I will.
Profiles in History announced yesterday they are auctioning off Carrie Fisher's belongings.
Okay.
Including her personal copies of several of the Star Wars scripts.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty cool.
In them. That is pretty cool.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Hollywood Reporter says one of the scripts is from The Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
Another script from a little film called A New Hope.
Wow.
They're speculating each of the scripts can go from $30,000 to $50,000.
Hey, why are you putting your checkbook back away?
That seems high. Actually, that seems kind
of
low.
There's a Return of the Jedi script as well. So you could have her personal scripts for those films. That's one of a kind memorabilia right there.
It does seem low, but I assume people will bid that up quite quickly.
Yeah.
Those are amazing.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Prince Harry.
Oh, hello, Harry. Happy birthday, old boy. I'm so, so sad. All friends, right?
They're saying right now in London.
Are they?
Yes. He's 33 years old today. He's dreamy, right, that Prince Harry?
He's the best.
Okay.
Is he the best?
He's the best at what?
Being adorable, serving his community, taking Diana's legacy and making it his own and adding to it.
Is he the one with the cute little boy who went to school last week?
No, that's his brother.
Yeah.
Did you hear the disgusting voice over his brother?
I'm just saying.
Snark in that one.
Harry's the hot one that was a bit of a mess, and then he turned his life around, joined the military. Great guy.
Is he the one banging the actress?
Yes, he is.
At Melanie Merkel?
Nope. What is her name?
Meghan Markle.
And I believe they're in love. I think they call it making love when you love someone. Yeah.
A lot of love going
Stop
on.
Doing that. Right.
The back of the
Stop
royal,
doing that. I think people
royal
can hear it.
Station wagon.
Are they in the royal
Sir?
Station wagon?
Yep. Tom Hardy's 40 years old today. Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, my God. It's everybody cool's birthday.
What just happened?
Well, I have no idea. Tommy Lee Jones is 71. Lisa Vanderpump. We were just talking about her and her rules.
What's up?
Dave loves her.
He sure does.
She's got restaurants. Mm-hmm. He's eating at them because he loves her show so much.
That's correct.
Yeah. She's 57. And director Oliver Stone is 71 years old today. I want to say there's some... No, never mind.
Uh-oh.
I thought there was a connection between Tommy Lee Jones and Oliver Stone, that they were roommates or something.
But really?
But I remember now it was Al Gore.
That's very different.
Al Gore and Tommy Lee Jones were roommates in college.
All right.
A little something for you. A little trivia for you to take through the rest of your day.
Thank you for that fun fact.
You're welcome. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's Friday morning. Ralph Garman is here in time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Batch of new films this weekend in Southland Cineplexes. Some limited release films, a couple big blockbusters. Let's take a look at the smaller films first. Brad's Status is the name of a new dramedy starring Ben Stiller. He's a guy who's taking his son on a tour of colleges, and he meets up with some old friends who make him feel inferior about his life choices. All the guys he went to college with are off doing great things, making a lot of money, banging hot chicks, and he's just a regular dude. Feeling a little blue about himself. Boo-hoo-hoo, Ben Stiller. this guy, right? Who's with me? Also in the film, on the upside, Michael Sheen. Love him.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna Fisher's in this.
All right.
Flight of the Conchords. Jermaine Clement.
Clement, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Nope. Who's the other one?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
The one that isn't Jermaine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The tall one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brett.
Oh, so it is Jermaine Clement. Okay. Jermaine's the tall one, right?
Yeah, he's the tall one, yeah.
Yeah, he's also in this. Here's some clips from the trailer of Brad's Status.
We're going off to find your college. Just try not to put too much pressure on yourself.
My counselor thinks that I'll get into pretty much everywhere I apply.
kid's going to Harvard.
Sometimes I worry that people think of me as a failure.
Oh, that's right. You have your little thing.
Your friends sound like dicks.
Everybody's just thinking about themselves. The only person that's thinking about you is me.
Isn't it crazy how we made this kid and now he's this brilliant, amazing person? I'm proud of you.
Dad, you having some kind of nervous breakdown or something? Under pressure.
Nothing better than Ben Stiller getting introspective, feeling sorry for himself. Oh, Lord. Right? Come on.
I'm with you 100% on that one.
Thank you. Rebel in the Rye is the life story of J.D. Salinger.
Oh, okay.
Who, of course, Kevin wrote.
Green Eggs and Ham.
All righty. The Catcher
Rebel
in the Rye.
In the what?
Catcher in the Rye is his
Catcher
legendary
in the Rye.
Novel.
What's the movie called?
Rebel in the Rye?
I thought that would have been a giveaway.
Well... He's been drugged
for all these years, remember?
Apologies.
Sarah Paulson stars Nicholas Hoult, Kevin Spacey. If you're a fan of that novel, and who didn't read it, right? We all had to read it in high school. Was it great, Kevin?
Did you enjoy it?
What was it about?
It was an amazing
story. Do you
remember
the main character's name?
It was about a... I'm sorry?
Main character.
The lead character, the narrator of the piece, who we get to know throughout the source of the film.
Bobby?
Nope. No. One more shot?
Lynn?
Holden Caulfield.
I don't think I would have got to that.
You don't?
This guy is a legendary recluse, this J.D. Salinger. And now we learn all about his life in Rebel in the Rye. Limited release this weekend. Here's some clips from the trailer.
I think Holden Caulfield is a novel.
No, I couldn't write a whole novel.
Holden Caulfield deserves an entire book.
We both think it has a lot of problems.
I just don't buy Holden.
Is Holden supposed to be crazy?
They don't want to publish it.
I went to war with these guys over this.
War?
You went to war with these guys? I saw them all get killed. I should be dead too. I shouldn't be here.
The pages of this book were with me when I stormed the beaches of Normandy. I don't think I'd be alive if it wasn't for this book.
There you go.
Kevin, that book changed lives.
Not mine.
Yeah.
Oh,
unfortunately,
that looks so bad.
Those lives are usually people who shoot other people. That's usually whose lives have changed.
No.
Yeah. Don't you know? Whenever you find an assassin in the back pocket, they got a copy Catcher in the Rye. The guy who shot Lenin, the guy who shot Reagan.
Mm.
Kevin loves assassins. He knows. He knows all about
movies
these
about assassins. Let's get to that one.
We will.
All right.
First, we're going to talk about Mother. The new horror film from Darren Aronofsky starring Jennifer Lawrence. Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, Michelle Pfeiffer. How creepy does this look?
All creepy.
It's a lovely little couple in their new home. Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem. They're just spending some time together when all of a sudden the uninvited guest starts showing up.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Javier Bardem knows all about what's going on. And poor Jennifer Lawrence. She's all like, what? Thing's probably scarier than that.
Probably.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Mother.
He's a stranger. We're just going to let him sleep in our house. He has pictures of you in his luggage.
What were you doing in their luggage?
God help you.
They've come here to see me.
You're insane.
All I'm trying to do is bring life into this house. Open the door to new people, new ideas.
I'm so sorry.
That sounds great.
And lastly, American Assassin. Kevin loves assassins.
I love movies
He's
about
love this film.
Assassins.
Dylan O'Brien stars. He was so good in Maze Runner. Michael Keaton is great in everything. Taylor Kitsch. Story centers on a young man who's being recruited by the CIA. And his mentor, played by Michael Keaton. And together they have to take on another terrorist, played by Taylor Kitsch, who has a previous relationship with Michael Keaton's character. Looks awesome, action-packed. American Assassin. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Some bad things happened to you. Now you want to go kill terrorists, am I right?
What is it you think we do here?
Kill people who need to be killed.
6 days ago, 15 kilos of plutonium went missing.
Everything he did there,
I taught him how to do it.
I trusted you.
You should have come for me.
Eliminate the target.
Yes, sir.
This whole thing is just a means to an end for you, isn't it?
No. This is just the beginning.
Yeah!
Come on.
Yeah. Great, picks this weekend. I'm sure Kevin first was going to go see Rebel in the Rye.
I'm going to see American Assassin.
And then if he has some time, he might squeeze in Brad Stevens.
Then I'm going to see Mother. Those are my two choices.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman.
I don't know if you know about the fight coming up this weekend.
Sure.
The champ is Gennady Golovkin. I'm sure I'm saying that perfectly well. Also known as Triple G. He's 37-0, and he's fighting Canelo Alvarez, who's 49-1.
And he has red hair.
Sure.
That's all I know.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Have you seen any of the commercials with Sylvester Stallone?
I haven't.
Yeah, they run them a lot on some of the channels that I watch. And by a lot, I mean all day, every day.
Really?
And it's Sylvester Stallone giving Canelo advice on how to be a good fighter. And they say the exact same thing every time. Sylvester Stallone says, Canelo, be bold. And then Canelo goes, oh my God. Be bolder.
Wow. Has Ralph heard that impression?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Here's one of them.
Hey, Canelo.
All right, now they're just about to barbecue.
Okay.
But Sylvester Stallone sees that Canelo has a black eye, so he takes the piece of meat that he was going to throw on the barbecue, and he tosses it to Canelo and says, put it on the eye.
Okay.
Oh, bueno. Be bold.
And then Canelo catches the meat and throws it back on the grill.
Hey.
Be bold.
That's it.
That's the commercial.
That's the commercial.
And they're selling meat?
No, Tecate.
Oh, okay.
At the end, they mentioned Tecate some. I don't know. It's the most annoying commercials I've ever seen. Here's another one.
Canelo. Be bold.
Be bold.
So they keep using the exact same script.
Right.
I think this is the only words both of them can say. I'm not positive. And then there's the third one, which is the most ridiculous one I've ever seen. And it's Canelo in the ring, and he's sparring. And then all of a sudden, there's a lot of bees in the ring.
Okay.
You know, like happens when you're boxing.
No.
And Sylvester Stallone walks into the gym, and in place of one of those fast bags, the punching bags, is a beehive.
Oh, you shouldn't punch that.
That's 10 feet from the ring.
Okay.
And for some reason, that's right there, and I'm not exactly sure why. So Canelo's fighting off the bees, and Sylvester Stallone walks in.
Canelo, be bold!
And he punches the beehive. And then Canelo says, be bolder. And then so they run those commercials. You haven't seen one of them?
No.
Wow, that's shocking because I can't get away from it. And I thought what we would do today, if we could, is get a hold of Sylvester Stallone.
Oh.
And ask him about what this was like and if he was actually giving him any real advice.
Mm-hmm.
Sly, good morning.
Hey, good morning. First of all, let me say, can I hear your impression of me again?
Right, please.
I'd rather not.
No, go ahead.
I want to hear it.
Yeah,
Okay.
You're the big, tough guy doing the voice and everything. I would like to hear what it is you think I sound like when you do your voice.
Canelo, be bold.
Really? He said, do my voice.
I did.
Sylvester Stallone.
Do my voice.
Right,
yeah,
like that's
what I just did.
Stallone's voice.
That's what I just did.
One more shot.
Canelo, be bold.
That sounds like George Takei.
I don't do voices. Point is,
it's not like Sulu or something, you know? Like you're on the Enterprise, like, ooh, get me Kirk. Ooh, be bold, Mr. Spock.
How many of those commercials do you have with Canelo? About 100?
We filmed 132 commercials.
Okay, wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
how many?
A lot of commercials, but, you know, we're like, you know, the Tecate is like beer, you know, it's really good.
Right.
And Canelo, he's a good fighter.
Right.
You know, and I'm known for the fighting, you know, with Rocky and everything.
Right, but
so
I mean,
it seemed like a good fit, you know,
but
for everybody to be together.
You're a fictional fighter, though. That seems...
That's true, but also I'm famous, so I think they like, you know, to use the famous part of me with the fictional fighter, with the real fighter, Canelo, with then the refreshing cold taste of Tecate beer, which is excellent beer, I think, in my opinion, for me to drink.
So you're a sponsor as well then? I mean, you're getting paid as well by Tecate?
No, I do commercials for free.
Why didn't they?
Because that's what I do. I go around saying,
sorry.
You want me to sell something for you? I'll sell the thing.
I'm sorry.
Put me in the camera. Put a camera on me. I'll sell it.
All I'm sorry. I apologize. That was a pretty dumb question.
It wasn't great. No.
Were you able to have any conversation with Canelo?
I did. I said,
other than
Canelo, be bold. Oh,
right. I heard that.
No, hit the bees.
Uh huh.
Get out of there, bees.
Oh no.
Ow! Ow! This bees hurt. Get out of here,
I mean,
bees.
Why do you think it made sense to punch
be
a beehive?
Bold.
Right.
Because that is bold, you know? It's like, to be bold is like to do something really bold.
Right.
And mm-hmm. that would be bold like this. Hey, Canelo! Be bold!
What?
Yeah. Chainsaw?
Is that a chainsaw?
Fight a chainsaw. That's bold.
That's not bold. That's stupid.
It's bold. Canelo!
Is that an elephant?
Fight an elephant! Be bolder!
What?
Canelo, stop the train! Stop the train with your fist!
With your fist!
Here, Canelo! Put dynamite in your gloves!
I mean, I think that's illegal.
You think putting dynamite in your gloves is illegal?
I mean, yeah.
Wow, you know a lot about boxing. You should be like a judge or a ref or something. No, I'm taking a point away from putting a lit stick of dynamite in your glove.
I see.
Be bold, Canelo!
Okay, that...
Be bold, punch the bullets!
Punch the bullets?
Yeah, you know, if I was firing a machine gun at you and you could punch the bullets...
Mm-hmm. Right.
That'd be fast.
Right, but no one can.
Well, I don't know, you know? We have to wait and see for the next commercial.
I see.
Yo, Canelo!
Is that a bear?
It is a bear.
Wow.
Be bold! Have sex with a bear!
What?
Oh, that took a turn.
Yeah, well.
What?
I got bored punching things.
RJ Bell from Las Vegas will be on just after 7 o'clock telling us about his picks for week 2 of the NFL. And then we've got your tickets for the Prophets of Rage at the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. Coming up as well, Ralph Garman is here now for a look at the Showbiz Beat.
A reminder for folks on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. there in Brea, California, for down in Orange County. Kevin Smith and I are going to take stage at the Improv at Brea doing Hollywood Babylon.
Now,
we'd love to have you come out and join us. We have a pretty good time. I think you will, too. You can go to improv.com, click on Brea, and then the rest is so easy. Yeah!
Hey!
Yeah! Guy's going to be there.
Right?
Yeah. Everybody!
Yeah!
You!
Oh, thanks.
Eat
all right.
Suck
okie dokie.
Your mom! Yeah. Die, die, die! Your mom! Yeah. Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Yeah!
He'll
be there.
He'll be there.
And then next Sunday, we're going to be in Oxnard. First time ever in Oxnard. That's a funny name, Oxnard.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
805.
Let's talk about show business. Aaron Carter, I mentioned, he went on The Doctors.
Yeah.
And received a dose of reality when he took a drug test and failed. His test came back positive for drugs like Xanax and Vicodin. You know, all the good ones. So the physicians recommended he go to rehab immediately when the cameras stopped filming. They said, we'll even pay for it. Well, apparently Aaron wasn't having any of that and stormed out of the studio and promptly drove from Los Angeles to... Where do you go if you're a neck-tattooed, drug-addled douchebag? What state do you drive to from Los Angeles?
Texas or Florida?
Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently they're doing an update on today's show if you want to check that out. So I was going out with Aaron Carter.
It seems all bad.
Was he a big star? Wasn't his brother the big Nick?
Yeah,
Carter
Nick,
was the star,
Backstreet
right?
Boys. Yeah.
What did Aaron do? Was he
Aaron
a singer
had
too?
some hits.
Okay.
Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So low you couldn't hear him. Boom! Wow!
Oh, wow!
Zing! I'm leaving.
What?
Farrah Abraham. That's a name we haven't heard in a while.
Wow.
The Teen Mom.
Oh, the butt stuff girl.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. butt stuff girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's back.
All right.
Showing that she will do anything for a dollar.
Oh, no.
You know, she made that porn tape, as Alia alluded to, called, what the hell is it called? Backdoor Teen Mom.
Backdoor
Teen Mom.
Farrah, yeah.
Well, Wednesday night, she was on camsoda.com. Camsoda.com is a website for cam girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can work in the comfort of your own home with
sure.
a camera and you can, you know, make some money. And she was doing that. She was ended up on the cam. Largely, she said she wanted to show off her rejuvenated vagina.
Okay.
She had some surgery done, mm-hmm. apparently, to to fix
shore
up.
Shore things up?
Sure.
Fix up the basement.
Yeah.
As it were. Put some paneling up in the basement.
I call it the downstairs mix-up.
And she also was, you know, entertaining herself while people watched. And it was a good time was had by all.
Like apparently. Making balloon animals?
Not so much.
Probably not that.
No, there was a power tool involved.
Oh.
Let's just say that.
Okay.
It was just magical for everyone involved. She wants to know that she is accepting gifts, by the way, if you're a fan. Mm-hmm. She would love a trip to Thailand, she says, for any fans would like to contribute that to her.
Okay. Who would ever think to say that?
Greece, also on the list. Monaco or Brazil. Those are her, that's her wish list for trips that she would like someone to pay for her.
Okay.
She also accepts cash gifts, she wants you to know, for shopping, grooming, shoes. Or she says she likes to go to a place that to get her hair done that costs $3,000.
No, you don't.
So she would like that.
No, she does not.
She's looking for someone she would look for some of her potential suitors to show they're serious by maybe donating something, a little something, so she could take care of business.
Remember when porn stars just had an Amazon wish list?
Yep.
What is this?
This is a high-end wish list.
Wow.
And she's trading that, I assume, for sex, right?
How dare you,
Kevin? I mean,
that's
understood.
It is not understood.
They're going to pay for a trip for her to go to Thailand?
Just fans.
And they get nothing out of it?
It's just they get the pleasure of having made someone happy who brings them happiness as well.
That is nice.
It's an exchange of happiness.
Yeah.
No mention of her child in any of this story, by the way.
No, I'm surprised. She
got famous for having a child, and now the child, I think, is hanging out with Amanda's kids from The Bachelor. A lot of people just abandoning their kids for show business. Found this story fascinating. Had no idea. Kevin, you know who Roald Dahl is? Author Roald Dahl?
No.
He wrote the famous book, though.
Three Pigs and a Donkey.
Come on, we all know that was Charles Dickens.
Oh, right, sorry.
Roald Dahl wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, really?
James and the Giant Peach, legendary children's author. His widow did an interview with the BBC this week, and she was telling some stories about the first draft of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which I did not know. Originally, Charlie in the book was black.
Okay.
He was a little black boy. And he turned in the manuscript, and the producers that were publishers said, no, you got to change that. Forced him to change it to a white kid.
When was this?
I don't know when the book was written, in the 50s, I guess.
Yeah, makes sense in the 50s.
Maybe early 60s.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is sad. He also said that the Oompa Loompas were originally black pygmies. They weren't orange at all. They were black.
Hmm.
Once again, publisher said, maybe you want to change that. So he made them orange.
Huh.
So, one thing we know is, there's a lot of racists in England who run the publishing industry. Apparently.
It sounds racist.
It does sound racist.
Huh.
Yeah. So, there you go.
That's odd.
A little trivia. Roald Dahl wanted to put the chocolate in the chocolate factory.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Prince Harry's 33 years old today. Actor Tom Hardy turns 40 years old. Tommy Lee Jones is 71. Lisa Vanderpump. You know her and her rules. She's 57.
What's up?
And Oliver Stone, the legendary director, turns 71. By the way, don't forget today's new release day for music.
Yes, it is. Good
what
day.
A batch.
Yep.
Prophets of Rage.
Yep.
Foo Fighters.
Yep.
Concrete and Gold finally available. Cannot wait to listen to that beginning to end later today. And Wyclef Jean also has new music out. So that's your new music update. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have Prophets of Rage coming into the HD Radio sound space here at K-Rock. Very excited about that next Thursday. And if you'd like to go, you can call now 1-800-520-1067. You're going to have to play a game and you're going to have to win it to get those tickets. But we're going to do that right after we talk to RJ Bell in Las Vegas. Follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. His website is pregame.com. He's got a new podcast called RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Welcome back, RJ.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. How are you?
Well, I like to win.
Right.
Just in my soul, you know, from the center.
Sure. It's who you are.
And so 3 years we had together leading up to this year.
Right.
We won.
Right.
Week one, we won.
Right.
So good.
Not
I feel
one
good.
To, not one to toot your own horn, but...
No, listen, I like the facts out there. And I'll be honest, I'm a quick learner. Yeah. And I learned after 3 years when we win, you take about 5 seconds. Oh, yeah, nice win. Like, all right, let's get to next week. But when we lose, it's like we look retroactively.
Oh, so you think we're being unfair.
I won't say that. I'm not one to judge.
So all your picks last week were right?
No. I didn't say I was perfect. I said I'm a winner.
Okay.
You are a winner. RJ was 2-1 last week.
Okay.
We usually give you 3 picks for the weekend. And RJ, the first one is the underdog special. Who you got?
Oh, so we're done talking about last week?
Yeah, of course. Oh. You won, remember?
We're in trouble this week, by the way, after that lead up.
Uh-oh.
Underdog special, the Colts. The Indy Colts +7. It's been a story of quarterbacks for this team. Andrew Luck, one of the most famous ones, is out this week. And the choice is a guy named Tolzien or a guy they just traded for, Brissett from the Pats. And also this week, we've heard stories Andrew Luck might not be too happy with the Colts as an organization. But if you look at the line in this game, Colts at home getting a touchdown, it's saying that the Colts are the worst team in the NFL. And that's just not true. And I was talking to another sports station yesterday. They're like, yeah, I hear you, but I can't bet on Tolzien because he looks so bad, this quarterback. And I think that's the whole point. People are emotionally having trouble with how bad the Colts look, but they're not objectively saying, well, this Arizona team, the team they're playing, they had a horrible game last game, too. They lost their running back, Johnson, and Carson Palmer looks old, the quarterback for Arizona.
I mean, he did throw 3 interceptions in the first game.
I agree. I mean, Arizona was downgraded more than any other team.
All right, take it easy.
Off of last week's performance, honestly. So really, we've said it for years, the toughest bets are the best bets. It's very tough to bet the Colts, but that's our bet, Colts +7.
All right, your best bet is what, RJ?
Well, we're going a little Los Angeles action here, but the opposite. We're going with the opponent, Miami Dolphins, best bet, +3.5. Now, let's look at the L.A. Chargers.
Okay.
Home field, a lot of people locally know they're playing in a soccer stadium. Right now, Vegas has the Chargers with the lowest home field advantage in the NFL right now because of that stadium and how the situation is. They're not familiar with it, and that's one of the advantages of home field.
But here's what I will say is I've been to that soccer stadium a lot of time at StubHub Center, and it's going to be loud because they're right on top of the action.
And that could be, but the question is how much enthusiasm is there really going to be? Is it going to be a bunch of hardcore Charger fans? Is it going to be corporate? Is it going to be some Dolphins fans? So we'll see. Could be, but I think it's uncertain. Also uncertain, Chargers have a new coach. A lot of Vegas guys think he's a little overmatched right now. And if you look Monday night, they had 2 late touchdowns that made that score look better. They still lost, but the score looked better than the game really was. So Chargers, I think, down in general. The Dolphins, the story is they're down. They lost their quarterback, but then they signed Cutler, who really is probably in the same ballpark as Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback they lost.
How dare you?
You guys really think Tannehill is clearly better than Cutler?
100%. And that hurts me to say it because Tannehill sucks.
Sorry, Chip. You go, right? Now, here's the other thing about Cutler. Miami didn't play last week, right? The weather and all that.
Right.
So you might think, well, that's a disadvantage. No, it's been like an extended training camp, and Miami has been actually on the West Coast this whole time. So it really has been like this time for Cutler to really almost have like a long study session with his new team. I think it's an advantage that Miami didn't play, and Chargers played on Monday night, so it's a quick turnaround. So you add it all up, we're taking the Dolphins +3.5 against the Chargers.
I just want to clarify that you just said we're taking the Dolphins.
Yes.
Okay.
We've had the Dolphins made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, whatever.
Cardinals didn't.
That's true. All right, so we had the underdog special. We had the best bet. Now we have the big game special, and you've got the Eagles and the Chiefs.
We're taking the Eagles plus 6 in this one.
Wow. All
right, so in the first game, we talked about who looked the worst, the Colts, right? Well, we played them. Well, who looked the best last week? Kansas City,
right? The Chiefs, yeah.
The Chiefs. Well, we're going to play against them. That's the way it is, right? We're contrary.
Well, the Eagles didn't look bad at all.
No, I agree, but it's not getting near the attention. See, you guys are starting to get it. It's not getting near the attention, though. The Eagles looking good as KC looking so good against the defending champions. Let's just do a little simple arithmetic. Home field advantage is worth 3 points in the NFL typically. So if you have an even game, well, the home field team is going to be favored by 3. Kansas City opened up favored by 4.5 in this game. They're at home. Okay, I could see it, right? I think Philly and KC's about even.
Right.
But, hey, they look good. I kind of get it. The odds makers had a bias. Okay, fine. But now the public has gotten involved since the opener, and they've bet Kansas City, Kansas City, Kansas City. That line now has gone up to 6. KC favored by 6. So the odds maker had a slight bias because of that performance, and now the public has even more of a bias. And what we love to do, guys, and it's why we win, we exploit public's bias. We're going with the Eagles plus 6.
All right, big game special, Philadelphia Eagles plus 6, best bet, Miami Dolphins plus 3.5, an underdog special, Indianapolis Colts plus 7 over the Arizona Cardinals.
And I must say quickly, I don't think karma allows anyone to strut this much and win this week. So I am going to be, I think all listeners be very careful this week.
Oh, I see.
Look at him covering his butt.
Pretty braggadocious at the beginning of this.
Hey, you guys, I'm responding to you guys.
All right. RJ Bell, you can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. The website is pregame.com. And again, the new podcast is RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Thank you, RJ. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Prophets of Rage in the HD Radio sound space here at K-Rock. If you would like to be there, you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You get through, you get on the air, you play a game, and you'll win those tickets from the world-famous K-Rock. Good luck. Very excited about Prophets of Rage coming to the HD Radio sound space here at K-Rock. Holds about 125 people.
It's going to be amazing.
It is going to be fantastic. It's Thursday, and to do this, you're going to have to win a game. We got the lines are filled. You're going to have to win a game, and it's called the Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Wheel of Celebrities, not O Celebrities. For God's sakes.
Wheel of Celebrities.
There we go.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get that wrong.
So much better.
What we're going to do is we're going to have celebrities read lyrics, and then you have to tell us which song it is and which band. It's either going to be Rage Against the Machine, Cypress Hill, or Public Enemy.
Is that why we have a big room full of celebrities here?
Yes.
Down the hall. I was wondering what was going on. I thought maybe it was another telethon.
Weird.
Did you?
Yeah. Star-studded.
That we're famous for.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with Ilena in Whittier. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
Yes.
All right, let's see which celebrity is going to be reading your lyrics. And it's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold, you're up. You're up, Arnold.
Yeah. Here I am to read lyrics for peoples.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And, okay. And Ilena's on the line.
All right, here it is.
Okay.
Here's the lyrics from the song. Okay. You need to guess what it is.
Right.
Transmission. Third World War. Third round. A decade of the weapon of sound above ground. No shelter. If you're looking for shade.
Rage Against the Machine.
Name of the song?
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's what you get for interrupting me before I was finished.
You want to do the last line?
Sure.
I was just too excited.
I lick shots at the brutal charade.
Rage Against the Machine. Title of the song?
Oh, my God.
The song is called...
Can you believe this, Arnold?
Name the song, lady. Come with me if you want to live.
Can you sing it again?
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. It's Guerrilla Radio. Well done, Noah.
A total waste of my morning.
Right. Sorry, Arnold.
Sorry.
I'm leaving.
Sorry about that. All right.
Oh,
sorry.
No.
I won't be back.
Okay, good. Let's say good morning to David in Baldwin Park. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You ready to do the Wheel of Celebrities?
Wheel of?
Whatever. I mean, honestly.
Get it right.
Close enough.
Well, this is in the win. I'll put that in the win.
Right, that's my point. All right, let's see who the celebrity is. And David, you get Al Pacino.
Al, you're up, Al.
Wow.
All right, bring it down.
Ooh, oh, yeah, here we go. 2-1 on the flam. Boy, it's tough. I just toss that ham in the frying pan like spam.
Okay, ooh, David.
Oh, my goodness.
Which band, which song?
That Public Enemy?
I'm sorry, that's Cypress Hill, Insane in the Brain.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Thank you, Al. Sorry to waste your time.
Ooh-ah!
All right.
Insane in the Membrane.
Let's go to...
Insane right. in the Brain.
Thank you, Al.
Yes. Ooh-ah.
Right. Let's go to Henry in Montclair. Hi, Henry.
Hello.
Are you ready to identify your song? Nobody's gotten them right so far.
I'll try.
All right, here we go. Let's see which celebrity is going to be reading your lyrics. And you get William Shatner.
Shat, it's your turn.
Congratulations, Henry.
Those who died are justified for wearing the badge. They've chosen whites. You just justify those that died.
Henry?
That's Rage?
Yes. And?
Justify?
That's killing in the name. All right.
Con!
All right, let's go to Juan in Newport Beach. Hi, Juan.
Hey.
Are you there?
Yep, I'm okay. Here.
All right, here we go. How do you think?
Calm down, Juan.
Right?
Calm down.
Too excited.
Overwhelmed.
The celebrity reading your lyrics, Juan, will be Pee Wee Herman.
Pee Wee!
How exciting.
Yeah.
La, la, la. Bass!
How low can you go?
Death row! What a brother now!
Once again, back is the incredible rhyme animal. The uncannibal D!
All right, Juan.
Hey.
Come on, man! Pee-wee's mocking you.
I know you are, but what am I?
All right, we need an answer.
I don't know, guys.
I don't know, guys.
Okay. That's Public Enemy. Bring the noise.
Bass, how low can you go? Death row.
Come on. How many songs have bass, how low can you go at the beginning of it?
Come on.
Come on, right, Pee-wee?
Absolutely, Kevin.
You're right.
Let's go to Heidi in Azusa. Hi, Heidi.
Hello.
No one has gotten one right yet.
Oh, gosh.
So let's spin the wheel and see who's going to read your lyrics. And the person reading your lyrics will be President Donald Trump.
Unbelievable. I can't believe that I'm standing in this room with all these losers. Unbelievable. Okay, here we go. There's no end to the poverty stopping me. You pretend there's democracy, hypocrisy. This is reality.
All right.
Big leg.
I don't think that's in it. Heidi?
Prophets of Rage,
party's
over.
Prophets of Rage, right band. Song was Living on the 110.
There's no end to the poverty stopping me.
Oh,
loser.
Man.
Loser. Another loser. Unbelievable. That's fake news right there.
It's not fake news. It was just she didn't
fake
get the,
news.
She didn't get the okay, she didn't get the title right. All right. We're in sudden death now, so if somebody gets it, they win. Next up is Daniel in Diamond Bar. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, good morning.
How have you done on hold so far? Have you gotten some of these?
I've never missed a question ever.
All right.
Daniel.
And setting up for the big fall.
You are not smart.
Right. Going before a fall.
And the celebrity reading your lyrics will be Homer Simpson.
Go! Hey. Don't miss out on what you're passing. You're missing the Huda of the Funky Buddha.
Daniel.
Rage Against the Machine.
Nope.
And there's the first loss.
Oh,
Cypress Hill. How I could just kill a man.
Oh.
never going to give these tickets away.
All right, we have one more chance, and it's going to be Augie in Ontario. Hi, Augie.
Hey, how's it going?
Not well. I got to be honest. I mean, I think we're doing all right on our end, but no one's winning the tickets yet.
I know. I'm listening.
All right. Well, good luck. Let's spin the wheel and see who's going to read your lyrics. You got to get this. You get Taylor Swift. Congratulations. How exciting for you.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. I can't believe you got me. I can't believe it.
I mean, we set it up ahead of time.
Okay.
Taylor, you did know.
Weapons, not food, not homes, not shoes, not need, just feed the war cannibal animal. I walk from corner to the rubble that used to be a library. Oh, my God.
Augie?
Rage Against the Machine?
Yes. Come on. I mean, seriously.
Bomb Track.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it!
Taylor, it's what is it?
It's Bulls on Parade.
Right, everyone knows that.
Can we give it to Louie from yesterday that came in second?
I don't think we can, actually.
Oh.
Taylor,
oh,
you want to pick? Taylor, you want to pick a number, and then we'll just give them away to a caller. I guess caller 20.
Yeah,
right. Or pick a number. You give us a
you
number.
You just told Taylor 20. So
Taylor, pick 20.
Oh my God! I can't believe you're telling me what to pick.
You can pick whatever number you want.
If it's 20,
as long
what
as
you made me do. You made me pick 20. Caller number 20,
1-800-520-1067. Thank you, Taylor. Okay.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities, Wheel of Celebrities.
The Emmys are coming up Sunday night, and because we don't know a lot about a lot, we have experts come in, and our expert is Michael Schneider, executive editor of IndieWire and editor-at-large at Variety. Hi, Michael.
Hello, hello. You don't know a lot about a lot, Kevin.
I mean, that's pretty true.
Yeah, that's our next T-shirt.
I was going to say, that's the theme of the Kevin and Bean show, quite honestly. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so let's talk about the Emmys this
Sunday
night. Yes,
Emmy fever. Catch it.
I don't know that there's Emmy fever. I don't feel like there's a lot of heat on this, do
you?
Yeah,
it's more like a sort of a slight vomiting, maybe some chills, some you wake up with night sweats.
But a great host.
So, yeah, Colbert should be great,
yeah.
And he's got a little bit of material here and there, so...
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty to talk about.
For
this
sure.
is going to air at 5 o'clock on CBS. Let's start with the Best Drama Series.
Yeah.
And give us your thoughts on who's going to win that.
Well, so this is an interesting category because Game of Thrones was not eligible this year because, you know, it went on in the summer. So it'll be eligible next year. But it won last year, so that opens up the door to a lot of new shows. And this is kind of a really competitive category because you've got The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, which, again, feels very timely. There's a lot of critical acclaim surrounding it, a lot of buzz. But you also have Stranger Things, which, was kind of a crowd favorite. It's also got a lot of buzz. It just felt fresh and fun and different. So Stranger Things right now feels to be the front runner, which is kind of unusual. It's not the kind of show that you would generally feel would win the drama.
I would love it if that show
won. But it could very well. And then you got This Is Us in the background, sort of a plain spoiler, which could kind of go through the middle and it's the one broadcast show in the category. And it could end up winning, too. So it's an interesting category.
All right, let's go to comedy series.
This is Veeps all the way. You know, as long as Veep is on the air, I think Veep's going to keep getting it. And
it has to be depressing for anyone else that has a comedy on.
Yeah, but you can't be mad at it, right?
Agreed.
Because it's Veep.
Agreed.
But
here's my thought. Although I thought last year's Veep, or I guess it would be this year's, was the strongest it's ever been, I think they're going to win next year just because it's their last year.
Yeah.
So this year... Atlanta.
Well, you know, the thing, they didn't...
That's what I'm saying. They just sneak right in. Donald Glover's like, it's mine.
Donald Glover's going to come home with a lot of gold on Sunday because he's nominated for director, for writer, for actor. So there's tons of opportunity for Atlanta to come home with some Emmys. But it does still feel like Veep in that category. You know, they didn't announce the end of Veep until after voting was over.
Oh, so they don't know.
Yeah, so... Okay. So you know, and next year, I think you're right. I think it'll win it as well for that final season. But Atlanta is the spoiler. If Veep doesn't get it, then Atlanta will.
All right, let's talk lead actor in a drama.
So lead actor in the drama, you know, Sterling K. Brown. What can you say about that guy? He won last year for People versus O.J. He's still having the dream career at this point. And This Is Us, that was a show that, you know, was sort of soft and you know, kind of came on quiet and then just completely killed. And it was the biggest show of last year. And who doesn't love Sterling K. Brown?
Yeah, so. No kidding.
He's the front runner for that one.
Best actress in a drama?
So best actress in a drama. So Elizabeth Moss in Handmaid's Tale. That show's just of the moment. People are talking about it. It's very political. It feels of the time. Elizabeth Moss did a kick-ass performance on that. People still love her from Mad Men, but this is kind of the role of her career. Just
for
when
sure.
You thought she was great in Mad Men, this is it.
So. All right. What about lead actor in a, comedy?
So lead actor in a comedy, This could be where Donald Glover actually picks it up. Talk about Donald Glover is having a year in his life. I turn on the radio because my kids force me to listen to Kiss FM and AMP these days. And he is constantly on the radio as Childish Gambino. He's going to be in Han Solo, of course. Mm-hmm. Atlanta is filming season 2. Who's having a better career right now than Donald Glover? And
nobody.
I think he's going to pick up the Emmy.
He is on fire.
He's
on
fire.
All right. Actress in a comedy.
So
is there any question?
No question at all. Julie Louis-Dreyfus is going to make history on Sunday night. This is going to be her 6th consecutive Emmy. That's never happened before.
So it's never happened before.
Never.
Consecutive.
No one's in the same role. So as Selena Meyer on Veep, 6 Emmys, new record. She's going to pick it up on Sunday, and she'll probably pick it up again next year.
I was going to say, and then probably 7.
She's going to, like, you know, that record's going to be hard to beat in the end.
She's magic.
Yeah, she's great. And again, can't be mad at it, right? It's Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Right.
So give her all the Emmys.
All right, best reality TV.
So this
what are you looking for there?
So, you know, what's on fire right now is RuPaul's Drag Race. That's the one that seems to be of the moment. RuPaul won for best host at the Emmys last weekend, and that show's on fire. So that's hot right now. And
I'm surprised that RuPaul won as best host. I mean, considering, you know, Phil Kogan from Amazing Race and
Jeff
but
Probst.
There's just no heat on any of those shows.
I agree. Well, the problem is a lot of those shows, they're in like season 25. They've been on for a long time, and they had their moment in the sun. It's great that a lot of them are still nominated. Amazing Race is still nominated every year, and remember it won like 10 or 11 in a row.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that was like 5-6 years ago. So that shows you how long that show's been on the air. The Voice, Top Chef, Project Runway, these are all shows that have been on for so long. Whereas RuPaul, which is honestly like also in its like 9th season, I believe, has been on for a while
already?
Too.
Nine seasons. Wow.
But these shows, they have longevity. But RuPaul does seem to finally be at the moment. This is the first year that show was on VH1. So it's kind of got a whole new audience. And so that's my pick to click there.
And can we talk about limited series? Because I loved Big Little Lies, but I also loved The Night Of.
Yeah. And Feud was great as well.
Nah. Let's stick with Big Little Lies.
Stick with those two. Yeah, no, it's Big Little Lies.
It is,
yeah,
right?
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, talk about
it's
that.
No
cast.
Doubt.
No yes. Doubt is not
what's
nominated.
Happening? Oh.
And Ralph will be so thrilled when Reese Witherspoon accepts.
He does
that
love
award.
Her.
Can I meant to ask Ralph back.
None of
in
us
the back
can understand
his hatred of Reese
None
Witherspoon.
None of us know.
We
it's
don't know.
Very bizarre.
He'll never explain it.
I do love it though. It is very comical.
It's strange.
So,
all right. So Big Little Lies. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. What's going to be the surprise of the night? Do you have an idea of that, or
if I knew that,
an idea of what it might be,
rewrite that. I think maybe the drama category. It is again anyone's to win. So I think no matter who wins, it's going to be a little bit of a surprise because no one really knows for sure. So that's going to be the headline. I think no matter who wins, that's what people are going to be talking about. And hopefully Colbert does something crazy, and we'll be talking about that as well. But you know, it should be an interesting night. But there won't be a ton of surprises just because you know Veep is going to dominate. Donald Glover will come up with something, and there's a lot of great TV, and the problem is not everything can be awarded, but there'll be some you're not going to be mad at whoever wins just because there are too many good things.
The Emmys are on 5 o'clock Sunday night on CBS. And what are you going to be doing during? Are you going to be?
I'll be backstage, tweeting, writing, all the above, hitting the parties after. So I'm going to be full-fledged coverage at IndieWire.com. So do check it out.
And Michael Snyder, you can follow him on Twitter at Franklin Avenue, and you should. He's also an editor at large at Variety. And thank you for coming in today. We totally appreciate it.
Anytime.
And I love your shirt.
This was a success.
He's actually LANOC's alternative rock. It's the world famous K Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55. Dylan O'Brien, the star of American Assassin, is coming up just after the top
American
of the hour.
American Assassin, stay away from me. American Assassin, mama, let me be.
And now Ralph Garman is here for a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Sunday night, 7 p.m. in Brea, California. Down there behind the orange curtain, Kevin Smith and I will appear on stage to perform like trained monkeys for your enjoyment.
No!
A little show we call Hollywood Babylon. Come on out and join us. It's a pretty good time.
No.
Yeah. Go to improv.com, click on locations, then Brea, and the rest is so easy.
No, idiot.
Speaking of tickets, the Trailer Park Boys are coming to Los Angeles. I love this show. If you're not familiar, it is a terrifically funny Canadian comedy about, as you can imagine, some boys who live in a trailer park.
Oh.
They're white trash. They're Canadian white trash.
All right.
And they're hilarious. Well, they're coming on tour with their brand new show, Ricky and Julian and Bubbles and Randy. They will all be on hand December 5th at the Orpheum Theater. December, of course, just in time for Christmas, which is appropriate because the tour is called the Trailer Park Boys, Dear Santa, Go F Yourself Tour. So I'm sure.
Why are they so mad at
Santa? Bring the kids, huh?
Because in the trailer park, I bet Santa doesn't make a lot of stops.
Aww.
I bet he doesn't come by very much.
Oh.
Yeah, right? I'd be cheesed off, too, if I was them.
You don't have chimneys.
That
makes sense.
No chimneys in a trailer park.
Aw, that's true.
Allie?
Yep.
Get your pads.
What?
Get your pads.
I don't use those.
You don't understand what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
It's a very exciting story. The Los Angeles Kings.
Okay.
Are hosting open tryouts on September 27th
mm-hmm.
to find their emergency goaltender.
Okay.
I'll do it. I mean, if I have to. If I have to, I'll do it.
I mean, I think he offered me.
Oh.
The
NHL requires each home team to have an emergency goalie mm-hmm. in the stands for every game.
Oh, my God.
What?
Wait.
Is this new?
Is this a new NHL rule?
I don't know.
Is that true?
Or not, but.
Not on the bench, in the stands? Like drinking a beer?
I think you just have to come and watch the show.
What?
And then if they need you, boom! You hop over the boards and
okay.
then you hit the ice.
All right.
That's awesome.
I will say I have put those pads on before, but being of a shorter ilk,
being
if you will.
4'3"?
They were basically right up under my breastplate.
Mm.
Not comfortable.
Your breasts are plates?
Yeah, they are.
No idea.
But you could do it for a game if needed.
Totally.
Yeah. But think how good
I'm
you'd be.
Available.
If you had pads all the way up to your chest,
mm-hmm.
you'd be unstoppable.
It's true.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
The blocker would be like your entire arm.
Right.
Goalie mask would be like swimming around on your head. Look like
I'm
dead
in.
Mouse. Luke Robitaille released a press release saying that the NHL requires each home team to have an emergency goalie in the stands. We thought this would be a good opportunity to see who in our area is best qualified for the job. It will be interesting, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Events will take place at the team's training facility.
I mean, if I have to.
A member of the Kings organization will be there to evaluate. You have to be at least 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be someone who has played a high level of amateur hockey but has not signed a contract to play professionally.
That's me.
The pros have been coming after Allie, and she just
yeah.
says, nope,
yeah,
not into it.
My dad played in the Huff and Puff League when
sure,
I was a kid, and I just
Puffs.
I used to go out there and
yeah.
just skate my heart out
yeah,
before
it was
those
Sid
games.
And Marty Croft's league, wasn't it?
That was Huff and H.R. Puffin stuff.
There you go.
See, this is why I don't even bother throwing the alley-oop anymore.
How dare you?
This
Allie's
whole
not there.
Team has just got hands of stone. Just everything's just banking off the backboard. Here's the interesting piece of trivia. Last year, two teams in the NHL found themselves signing emergency backup goalies.
Wow.
And the Hurricanes actually used theirs. It was a 37-year-old equipment manager, Jorge Alves.
Oh, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made his professional debut for 8 seconds in the third period. So if you are a goalie and you want to play for the Kings, This is your opportunity. You can find more at the King's
Can they promise us that it's only 8 seconds?
September 27th is the date.
But then you're always 8 second Jorge, and nobody wants that.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Chip, did you know it's Dan Marino's birthday today?
What?
Yep.
What kind of Dolphins
fan are you?
I don't keep track of birthdays.
Come on.
Prince Harry also celebrates a birthday today. Tom Hardy is 40. Tommy Lee Jones is 71. As is Oliver Stone. And Lisa Vanderpump. She rules.
What's up?
Vanderpump.
Yeah, Vanderpump. Yeah.
She's 57. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is a great day today because we get two new albums of great music, Prophets of Rage and Foo Fighters. And American Assassin comes out. And I'm very excited about this movie. And we have the star on the phone, Dylan O'Brien. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Very excited about your movie coming out today.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I was reading a lot about your background, and I apologize for this, but I didn't know of your accident on the set, and I didn't know of all the plastic surgery. I didn't know of any of that. Are you getting that response, or how are people responding to that?
I don't know. It's a mix of, it being obviously something really private that, I had to deal with on a somewhat of a public scale, but at the same time, I was really private about it up until I could be, basically. And so, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that, and I'm happy that you didn't know the full details. That's how I'd prefer it.
He's like, so please stop reading about it if you could. So that'd be great.
Let's move on and talk about something else. Tell me about American Assassin and how you became a part of it.
I previously worked with the producer, Lorenzo De Bonaventura, and I think, when they were thinking of someone for this, I think he sent it my way, and, I connected to it right away and felt like the role was really strong. Definitely felt like I would, it would be something I'd be interested in, if done a certain way. And we just kind of took it from there, and I was lucky enough to get it and lucky enough to do it, and we got Keaton,
Keaton. That's all you need to say.
I know exactly. I was like wait, what's this movie? Keaton, okay, yeah, no problem.
Tell me what it's like working opposite Michael Keaton.
It's really cool, man. It's just it's both cool, like literally the little kid inside me too would geek out every now and then. Obviously grew up watching Michael Keaton and loving him from a lot of things that were definitely films of mine that I cherished, my childhood. And then at the same time, it was just so cool because he just treats you, like an equal. And that was the coolest part about it. And he's just he's a really cool guy, really down to earth.
Is there a voice? Is there a tiny voice in your head saying he's treating me as equals, but we're not?
I know. Yeah. Oh, totally, the whole time. I'm like, that's nice of him. That's sweet of him to do.
Have you read any of the books?
No, I hadn't. The first time I heard about the books was after I was sent the project, actually.
Oh, wow. Because you're playing Mitch Rapp, but you're basically the origin story of all the books, right?
Yeah. It's the 11th book. Up until then, he's much older. I think he's in his 40s, and they kind of take it back to how he kind of found his way to the CIA when he's 23 and loses his fiance in a terrorist attack, and how that kind of changes him, So, yeah, it's definitely an origin story.
How exciting is that? You're essentially, I'm going to put it out to the universe. I'm just going to say the movie's going to do great this weekend, and you're now going to be a franchise.
And there's the jinx. There goes the
jinx. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No.
Why would she do that?
Why would I do that?
Oh, no.
But
no,
I'm saying,
now it's going to tank.
Willing to be in a new action franchise? Because that's essentially what will happen here.
That's what you sign up for. That's what you hope for. You definitely don't hope to go into it and have it not go anymore, and I really enjoyed the role. It meant a lot to me too, this experience, and what it meant for me too. So it was really, it's something I'd absolutely love to suit up again and do. And Yeah, so I'm just crossing my fingers, hoping it all goes well. It's out of my hands, you know. So,
how much did you have to learn to use weapons? Because I'm sure that you have to be believable when you have whatever weapon you have in your hand.
Yeah, no, none really, because I use weapons all the time.
And,
I'm stopped, psychotic.
Okay.
No, it's,
now you're
this took a turn.
Now
Dylan.
You're scaring me.
This took a really vicious and scary turn.
Yeah.
The weapons training, that was one of the coolest parts about it, definitely. You know, it's cool to learn about that stuff and, to learn from guys who have been doing it forever and really know what they're doing. And, the weapons training, the fighting training, you know, all that stuff was really cool because, you don't get to many experiences or opportunities in life to learn that stuff. So I thought it really interesting and fun. And, yeah, definitely part of it, too, to try to make it feel as authentic as possible.
Do you ever wake up and think, wow, I'm living this life amazing. What if I had gone to Syracuse, been a sports broadcasting major? What small market would I be working in doing, like, high school baseball? Do you ever think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. I do think about it sometimes. I just feel like everything was supposed to, happen this way for a reason. Obviously, I wasn't sports broadcasting in Syracuse. That was, that was what I was intending on doing at some point. But not really. It was definitely never completely in my heart. I had because I loved sports and particularly baseball growing up, I had obviously, when you're trying to think of what to do, what to go to college for, you're just trying to think of everything that you're into,
But right, now you look at
the core of everything. This is what I wanted to do, and this is what I understood. I just didn't even, funny enough, know it at the time.
Now you look at Joe Buck, and you're like, suck it, I'm this guy.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't freeze my ass off in Syracuse for 4 years.
Well, this movie looks fantastic, and we really appreciate you taking some time today, Dylan, and coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're going to get my money, I guarantee it.
Probably
today and maybe tomorrow as well.
He's been looking forward to this.
I mean, honestly, this movie just basically says, hey, Kevin, go see this.
Yeah, he loves Assassins and Louds.
You know what, that's funny. That was the working title.
It wasn't. That's interesting. That's how it felt, so that's good. Dylan O'Brien, we appreciate your time, and best of luck to you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Bye now. Ralph did a story in the showbiz yesterday about Gene Simmons and how he has a new box set, a 10-CD box set out of solo work.
What?
And we said, I don't even know one solo song by him. How does he have a box set out? And it starts at $2,000. And Ralph sent the link, and here's Gene Simmons explaining it.
Hi, everybody. Gene Simmons here. For the past 3 years, I've been working on something that I've wanted to share with you my entire life. I've gone through hours and hours of music I've recorded and written over the past 50 years to craft my career-spanning solo recordings box set. It's called The Vault. What is The Vault? Well, it's 150-plus never-before-released songs I've written spanning 50 years, going all the way back to when I was 14 years old, all the way to some of the songs that became Kiss classics. 10 CDs right here, all inside The Vault.
How crazy is that?
10 CDs.
He wants you to buy 10 CDs.
I want you to buy not only the 10 CDs, but the experience that comes with The Vault.
Hey, Gene, I didn't know you were coming in today.
Well, I'm here because you owe me $75.
Do I?
Yeah.
From what?
Well, from the numerous songs you've played here on the station that I, of course, wrote and had stolen from me, and I actually copyrighted.
What
I copyrighted
song?
The G chord. So,
the G chord.
Just that chord.
Mm-hmm. That's the Gene chord, actually. I've changed the name.
Okay. I don't think that's copyrightable.
It sure is.
Okay.
And the Vault is just, it's not just music, of course. It's much more of an experience. You get the a behind-the-scenes look at the life of Gene Simmons musically. In fact, one of the first unreleased songs is a song that I sang at my bar mitzvah. So, we're going that far back into the musical progression of Gene Simmons.
That can't be good.
Of course, it's great.
And that means?
Most of your listeners are crying right now with the sheer joy from the sonic power that I just rocked them with in Hebrew.
I've never heard of anyone taking 50 years to make all of those songs that are all unreleased.
Kevin, you can't rush genius. You can't rush genius. This box set is something special. And speaking of that, Allie, you have a special box I'd like to look into.
Okay. Well, thank you. I mean, what?
The vault is truly something extraordinary. Yes. Not only does it include 150 unreleased songs.
Let me just ask you right there.
Yes.
Why didn't you, at some point in the last 50 years, release a song?
Kevin, a great boxer can't just come out of the gates with his Widowmaker. He has to work the body with jabs, maybe some hooks, go change levels, and then when it's time, he will unearth the Widowmaker. That's right. Like I'm saying. And I'm saying that right now, the vault, for a Kiss fan, for a Gene Simmons fan, this is the uppercut that's going to knock you out with sonic power. The vault, speaking of it...
It's a lot of sonic power.
There's a lot of... you're a handsome and beautiful man, Kevin. But
Thank you. Speaking
of the vault, Ali, I believe you have a meat vault I'd like to open.
What's happening right now?
Chip liked that one.
Yes. Okay.
Chip's a big fan of yours.
Oh, I know. And I've heard Chip play bass. You know, of course, I'm the bass player.
Sure.
And I am the lead singer and principal songwriter for the band Kiss, the greatest band on earth, the most important band, and the best form of entertainment you will ever see.
Right.
And I have to say that Chip probably owes me about $700,000.
Is that right?
Oh, my God. Chip.
Copyrighted the bass.
The
bass guitar?
Yeah, Paul McCartney just left my house writing a check.
I don't think that's true.
It's true at all.
Yeah. No, now, Jack Bruce is on his way to my house right now.
Now, you're saying with the vault, you're saying that you're going to hand deliver them to people's houses? Yeah. What's
this about? For $50,000, you get the special experience. Not only will you get the 150 release songs.
I'm sorry, for how much?
$50,000. A real bargain. Not only will you get the 150 release songs, not only will you get the special Gene Simmons toothbrush, not only will you get the special Gene Simmons power brooch, not only will you get the special Gene Simmons pimp chalice, not only will you get the special Gene Simmons energy drink, you will also be provided with me, Gene Simmons, delivering this, hand-delivering this to your home. Can you imagine the bragging rights when you tell your friends, Gene Simmons is sitting in my living room, hand-delivering the vault?
How many people do you think are going to be able to spend $50,000 on that, though?
Oh, it's a drop in the bucket. I think that right now with the current American market, with our beautiful, handsome president, who's a businessman, who's a negotiator, the markets are in a way that everybody can afford to spend their money on things that are important, like the Gene Simmons vault. I have an unreleased song on there called Genealogy.
Genealogy.
It's a true story, which is, of course, a play on my name, Gene,
sure,
and the study of DNA. Speaking of DNA, Ali,
yep.
I have a DNA milkshake you might be interested in.
I am lactose intolerant.
No, don't worry.
Oh, no milk in it?
Oh, that's completely dairy-free.
Okay.
Yep. Serve it at Real Food Daily.
Okay.
Right there.
All
right.
Yesterday morning, we had Dr. Drew on the show. And when Dr. Drew was on the show, we were talking about the flu shot. Uh-huh. And Dr. Drew said, of course, you should get the flu shot. And then Mike Catherwood called in, Psycho Mike.
Yes.
And, you know, set Drew straight, basically.
Yeah.
He gave you the flu shot.
He tried to kill me.
And you almost died.
If it wasn't for you guys being smart enough to make fun of me for my inflated, bloated face and him hearing it, I would have died. Because he gave me a shot.
Do you really believe you would have died?
He's told me that.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. Said anaphylactic shock, right?
This was during Loveline, so it was probably 10, 15, 10:30 at night. I'll never forget. And Buck Cherry was the guest.
Sure.
And I'm sitting there off air talking to Josh from Buck Cherry, and we're just shooting the poop. And Dr. Drew comes in with like making it rain syringes. Like, he literally had two syringes. He was double-fisting syringes. And he gave producer Ann a shot. And I'm like, what's that? He's like, I've got the flu shot. Everyone should get it. Josh, Keith, you guys want one? And they're like, one guy says, I already got one. Josh's like, I'm in. So doctor's got rubber gloves on. And he's just injecting people. I was like, I never get the flu shot. Not because I'm hesitant. Just, I never get
just
it.
Never did.
He said, you need it. You need it. I said, all right, cool. So he gives it to me in my shoulder. And I do the show. And everything seems fine. Around 3:30 in the morning, I wake up and I just feel like I have a sore throat.
Okay.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh, well, what are you going to do? Get up, get ready for work. And, you know, I don't have to tell you guys, at that hour, you don't really get too concerned with, like, your personal appearance.
Right.
You just, like, brush your teeth, boom.
You're lucky to get here on time if you're me.
So I cruise in, you know, hoodie, pajama pants on, and I'm starting to think, man, my throat is really bothering me. I'll just stay away from Kevin in the back of the studio, make sure I don't... Kevin and Omar, every walk in, they're like, gee, what's wrong with you? Holy mackerel. Because Bean is the first person I talk to, but he's on the screen. He can't tell.
Yeah.
And I guess I was swelling up. And so, you know, next thing you know, we're opening up the show, and I get on the air, and Kevin's talking about how swollen and puffy. And I said, yeah, and I'm already having a harder time
breathing and like swallowing my, and the phone lines light up, and mm-hmm. it's one of them's Drew. He's like, take Mike to the hospital immediately.
Oh my.
And of course they didn't. They were like reluctant right. because they're just see how much comedy we can milk out of this.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah, my head was literally like a, right? like a pumpkin. Right? But it's really low.
So that's entertainment for the rest of us.
Yeah. It was kind of entertainment
but
for me.
We didn't know that you were about to die either.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be weak.
Okay, so let's move on from that story. Yeah. That was yesterday.
Did you live?
That's a great question. So yesterday, on the phone, you say...
you know what? I got a bone to pick with you, Allie. Not only Gigi, the collar maker, but I happened to be listening earlier this week to Wheel of Animal Voices. Mm-hmm. And I feel so bad for Ralph, you know, because he's just trying to make some comedy. And you're there, you know, and don't try to play like, oh, no, you know what? I'm just doing my job. That's exactly what, like, Hitler's lieutenants say when they find him in Argentina.
What
like
did I seven do? Years.
You're like, is it true, Kevin, that the wolves actually create different cliques and they communicate with each other? Just trying to milk the Wheel of You should just sit there double middle fingers right in Kevin's face. That's what you should do to the Wheel of Animal. Because you can hear the derision in Ralph's voice as he walks in the other studio to be
right.
wacky yeah. cat number six or goofy duck.
Here's what I'll say to that. He always makes it hilarious.
Exactly.
So he's screwing himself.
He always makes it hilarious because he has that unbelievable grand slam strand of DNA that he can do that.
Agreed.
It doesn't mean you should force him every week.
The talking about then, Ralph, though.
I mean, the listeners are forcing him.
And you wouldn't believe it. These ducks have been stealing the beer from the frat guys. I mean, what are the chances of that?
All right, Mike. I'm having problems corralling you right now.
Go.
I'm trying my best.
So
you're on the phone with us, with Dr. Drew, and you said you're doing comedy.
I did not. Liar. I'm making Drew sure, because I know better.
Dr. Drew said.
Worked with you guys too long.
Psycho Mike is doing comedy tonight, meaning last night.
Don't hang up on Mike. He's got a comedy show
he
tonight.
He didn't say that. That's correct.
Like,
you're right.
Oh, crumbling knowing.
You're right. So, we said record it and bring it in.
Yeah, and I did.
And you did. How did it go? Where did you do it?
Molly Malone's on Fairfax.
Okay. Is that a comedy club?
Well, it's a bar.
Yeah.
They have a whole other room that's a venue.
Oh,
like a really nice one. And... I'm not going to kid you. Be like, listen, I got a whole new career. You're looking at the brown Louis C.K. right here. I guess he's the brown
he's
Louis
Mexican.
C.K. I'm the non-ginger Louis C.K.
Okay.
But, you know, it's fine. I mean, I certainly didn't feel like I bombed.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, I would expect to bomb.
Yeah.
Your first time? Sure.
Of course. You would think everyone's first time is going to just suck.
I was really... happy to be able to look back on this. If I don't ever do it again, I could say I shared the stage with real comics, real professionals, and I had a good time.
When you walked out on stage, what were you feeling? Were you scared out of your mind? Were you sort of okay with it?
I have like a little cheat code in that I've done how many live shows with you guys,
right.
You know, Double Decembers or live podcasts. So the basic kind of
the
natural
fear of being
innate
on stage, you already
of like, oh my God, people are staring at me and I have to talk to them. I was over that. I thought to myself, I'm not going to be as precise and polished as the rest of the guys, but hey, I'm opening up, so it's not like they have anything to compare it to at the moment.
I admire that you did it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Because it seems like a frightening thing to do.
And then I made the mistake of trying to not go with low-hanging fruit as if I'm smart and acerbic.
Right.
You know, like, I was like, what's wrong with you?
I should have just spent
8 minutes telling Paris Pooh story and the time I introduced myself to a girl that I'd banged like 50 times. And everybody laugh, I leave.
And over a bum. You have a lot of stories that you could tell that they would love.
I didn't run over the bum.
You
I just
ran
didn't
over.
Report his murder.
I mean, come on. How do you not use those stories? How do you decide, I'm not going to tell those stories?
Yeah, Kevin,
when I woke up in Paris and I didn't know where I had come from or whatever that story was. I mean,
I landed in London and woke up in Paris with poo in my pants.
Right.
No clue how I got there.
So
that's all great material. And you said, nope.
I said, I'm going to push myself.
Not going to do that.
And write stuff.
Oh, dear.
I thought, you know, which I thought it was okay.
Okay. Here's Mike doing stand-up comedy.
I'm half Mexican and half white. And my Mexican half's really, really Mexican. And my white half's really, really white. And I grew up here in L.A., which is like, you know, Tenochtitlan North. And is there any Mexicans here tonight? Any? Yeah. Yeah, we could tell. Any besides him? Any besides him? Because we could see his foreskin from here. We already knew that guy. Like I said, I have a really weird perspective because it's really polarizing. I mean, I'm really Mexican and really white. But there's one huge difference between Mexicans and pretty much all other people, mostly with white people. If I know, you know, my dad's side of the family oftentimes will be very guarded or measured, very thoughtful in how they would engage in you and your private business. Alternatively, I'll be at Dodger Stadium and meet a perfect stranger, a guy I've never met in my entire life, and they'd be like, hey, dog, what's your social security number? Hey, fool, do you shave your pubes? Boxers or briefs? What's your daughter's name? How much money you make? Can you give me a ride to the airport? Will you co-sign a loan for me? That's it. Mexican men have absolutely zero personal boundaries. It's like, hey, man, this is public domain, whatever's going on in your life.
Come on, that's not bad.
Not Thank bad.
You. That's not bad.
Thank you.
But what about the stories?
Yeah.
So you need to return. I mean, you need to do another stand-up night. And we'll sponsor it.
Oh, listen, if you want to go this route,
I'm just making this up as we
go. I will go under a nom de plume and an on-purpose bomb, if that's what you're...
I want you to bomb trying really hard.
Okay.
That's what I want to
Well, then, I mean, I certainly have enough friends and enough leverage in that world that I could go to, like, the store. I could go to a place where it would be a disaster if I bombed.
Okay, and so we have a night, and then, like, the Armenian comedian opens for you.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Wait, Ali, oh, no. What do you mean? That's a dream come true.
We get Bob Toe to come in and do some jokes?
You're speaking my language, buddy.
I mean, we're talking basically April Foolishness is what we're talking here. All headliners.
Yeah. Yeah, like we're almost hitting you with too much heat.
See, that's the mistake that you made is you needed somebody to come on before you that was really bad.
Remember the time you and Bean spent 10 minutes talking to Sam on air about how he can't cuss?
Oh, yeah. That was the single funniest thing that
has
ever happened.
It's maybe the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life.
I did fall underneath the table. It was a live remote, and I fell underneath the table, and I could not stop laughing no matter what I said.
It had to be Borat. Like, you can't believe that's real. And I want to, as a fan of the show, guys, I just want to, in my remaining moments, say, not enough Internet Predator chip for my money.
Oh,
you guys
right?
need to, like, give do
that's
a backstory.
That's not our chip.
No, it is. She actually, I don't know if you know this, Kevin. She got caught by Chris Hansen trolling 14-year-old girls who are pretending to be 14-year-old boys. No, sit down. You like the cookies? Go ahead.
I hate you so much.
Why did you bring condoms?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:52 on a Friday morning, and that means it's time for Keep It 100, you guys. Keep It 100. These are the songs that we've played by your request, and then we're going to open up the phone lines for you to text your request in.
Hi, my name is...
All right, so you text us at 1-800-520-1067 with your request, and the 100th texter will get their request played. As long as it's in the K-Rock library, we will play it. Whatever it is.
I like it.
Flobots.
So don't be bad and don't request the Flobots. That's all
I'm saying. A long, long time ago.
And don't ask for that.
I can still remember how the music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when about his.
It's an 11 minute song or something here, Ralph, so. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
But something touched me deep inside the day the music died.
Okay.
Oh, his mic went out. That's a shame.
Uncle Levy. I don't need your stinking mic. Uncle Levy was trying.
Time for the show, Ms. B.
Has there been any talk about allowing the listeners to program the music we play on K-Rock? Because everything that you played in that little montage
was great.
Was better than 80% of what we play normally.
More than 80.
Okay, you're right. Just saying, maybe we should just turn over the keys.
I don't hate it.
And let someone else drive.
Although it depends on who's driving. We have received some terrible texts.
But
those are great.
Those are the ones
those
that
are
won.
Great. Yeah.
So that's a pretty good average.
All right.
If those are the 100th that we've taken randomly, then they've been awesome.
All right.
Just saying.
I'm just saying.
I didn't hear a Chili Peppers song in that montage at all. Speaking of music, Kid Rock, you know he's going to make a run for Congress, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he's on his way. He's already walking in the footsteps of his idol, Donald Trump. He's now banning newspapers from attending his concert. He banned a Detroit newspaper, the Detroit Free Press. Was told by Kid Rock's people they could not get credentialed to cover his concert Tuesday night in Detroit because of a recent column they wrote about his show at the new arena downtown. They just happened to mention a lot of his fans were carrying signs saying blacks weren't welcome to the show.
Oh man.
And there was a lot of Confederate flags being worn and flown. And Kid Rock's publicist told the Detroit Free Press, you guys wrote an effed up story and allowed it to be published, so you can't come.
So they wrote the truth, and he doesn't like that.
Fake.
Were those people there?
Yeah.
Huh.
Hmm.
So the show was reviewed by the Detroit News, a different newspaper there, and they said Kid Rock said the following from the stage. And why these days is everything so gay? Gay rights, transgender this and that. I say gay folks get married if they want. I'm not even close to that death trap. But things shouldn't be this complicated. And no, you don't get to choose, because whatever you have between your legs should determine the bathroom that you use.
I mean, I'm not positive we need to listen to Kid Rock about anything.
Best.
About anything.
But hats, right? We should listen to him about hats. He wears good hats.
He is Kid Rock.
He's a garbage person.
Yeah.
Put him in the garbage. Dream along in the garbage. Shut your ass face, I would say to him. This makes me happy. Selena Gomez is much healthier than she was. I had no idea she was this sick. No one knew. She didn't really let anybody know. But over the summer, because of her lupus, which attacks, you know, that's when someone's body attacks itself. Her kidneys were failing, so she had a good friend named Francia Reza, who donated one of her kidneys to her good friend Selena.
That's amazing.
She's much better now. She broke the news on Instagram this week, thanking her family and the incredible team of doctors, and of course says there aren't words to describe how grateful she is to her beautiful friend. So that's touching when someone would do that for somebody.
It is.
Would you give me a kidney, Allie?
Probably not.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I don't blame you.
Well, you're a drinker, so I don't know that you would.
I believe that's your liver.
That's liver? It's a different organ.
Okay.
But
I'm going to recuse myself.
Thanks for participating.
Close enough.
Really?
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, just wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the birthdays.
Yeah.
I'm a little winded. I feel like somebody hit me in the solar plexus. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dan Marino, we found out, is celebrating a birthday today, Chip. Your legendary Dolphin quarterback, Dan Marino.
Remember when they were good, the Dolphins?
I do remember when they were good.
They're good now.
They never won the whole thing, though, with Dan. I always felt bad for him with that. Yeah, I know. Prince Harry's 33 years old today. Tom Hardy's 40. Tommy Lee Jones celebrates his 71st birthday. Lisa Vanderpump.
What's up?
It's your 57th birthday. People are asking for the bell for Lisa Vanderpump, by the way. You don't have a bell over there?
I do, but no.
Why? Have you seen her? Have you ever seen Lisa Vanderpump?
I feel like I have.
All right. That's good enough.
My impression of her is that she was too skinny. Am I thinking of the right person?
No.
Not at all?
Not even close.
So, there you go.
And Oliver Stone is 71.
Oh, yeah, she's pretty hot. Thank you, Chip.
Come on, right?
I mean.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is Friday at 9.05, and every Friday at 9.05, we do Keep It 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
The 100th texter today at 1-800-520-1067 is Robert from Long Beach, who's on the phone now. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Kevin and Allie. How are you guys?
We are good. How are you?
Super.
Have you texted this song in before when we're doing Keep It 100?
I have been texting this song since you started doing Keep It 100, I think in July.
Wow. That's impressive.
And the same request every time.
The same request every single time. I think I even did it on, you know, on Linkin Park Day.
Mm. No, great. That was nice of you. It was nice of you to text this request in for Linkin Park Day.
We're bummed we're not going to get it today since you were number 99. But thank you so much.
No way.
No,
really?
Totally no, she's just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
She's just kidding. Robert, why are you requesting this song?
Because it's a fun Friday sexy song that just...
Robert, are we?
Yeah.
Do we have the right? Song? Do we have the one up? That
what song is it?
Tell people what you're requesting.
The Bad Touch by Bloodhound Gang.
Come on.
Keep it 100. Your hands down my pants, and I'll bet you feel nuts. Yes, I'm Cisco, yes, I'm Ebert, and you're getting two thumbs up. You've had enough of two-hand touch. You want it rough, you're out of bounds. I want you smothered, want you covered like my Waffle House hash browns. Coming quicker than FedEx, never reaching apex. Just like Coca-Cola stock, you are inclined to make me rise an hour early, just like daylight savings time. You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Do it again now.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Get in the morning now.
See, kids, don't give up on your dreams.
Mm.
Robert, listener yeah. Robert from Long Beach, texted us that every single time since we started Keep It 100.
And
right?
He was right. That was very sexy.
Very sexy. Bloodhound Gang, The Bad Touch. It's Keep It 100 on every Friday at 9:05. One of 6.7
hey!
K-Rock. Is KRQ? I don't think so.
Chip's nodding over there.
I don't think so. Yeah, but Chip's the bad one.
She's the good one.
I've been in the last 5 minutes. You're the bad one.
Ain't that the truth?
It's 9:37 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the final showbiz beat of the week. Here's Ralph Garman.
Before we head into the weekend, I want to remind folks, if you want to come out and see me and Kevin Smith do Hollywood Babylon, we're going to be in Brea, California this weekend, Sunday night. It's an early Sunday show around 7 o'clock, so you can still have a good time. Get home, get in bed, get ready for Monday.
Nobody gives a crap!
Go to improv.com to get your tickets. Go to locations, click on Brea. The rest is simple. And then the
nope.
After that, on Sunday, we're going to be in Oxnard, California at the Levity Live up there. So
nope.
Look forward to seeing some of you folks come out and join us. I'm just a little rattled as we go into the show business news because I just found out in the other room moments before I walked in here that there is a lesbian love story movie starring Rachel Weisz and Rachel McAdams that I didn't know about.
Wow.
And now I can think of nothing else.
Okay.
It's called Disobedience. Apparently right. It's made its premiere at the Toronto Film Festival, and now I need to fly to Toronto, which is going to be a pain in the ass.
But you do have the weekend.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know? What are you going to do? Not everybody is happy over there on the set of Dancing with the Stars. RadarOnline.com has a story about Vanessa Lachey, previously known as Vanessa Minnillo, until she married Nick Lachey. She's not making friends over there, they say. Rumors from the set are that she's behaving like a real big diva, that her ego is through the roof, and that she's been seen arguing with her husband, Nick Lachey, who's also on the show backstage.
Oh, that's good times.
That sounds like a joy to be around. It's the first time people were going to be begging to get off this show. I'm going to dance like a goof just so they'll boot me. That's a nightmare. Sad news. Also sad news, Fergie and Josh Duhamel. They were America's sweethearts. And now they're calling it quits.
Mm.
They started dating back in 2004. They tied the knot 5 years later. They have a four-year-old son named Axel together, but they released a statement saying, "With absolute love and respect, we decided to separate as a couple earlier this year." And they've been keeping it from us.
Yeah.
We need to know these kind of things, Fergie.
Do we?
I need to know. And what's she going to do now with her lovely lady lumps? What happens now with
That's
those?
That's true. I didn't think
who
about
gets,
that.
Who gets custody of the kid and the lovely lady lumps?
I think she keeps
her lumps.
Yeah.
Her lumps. Lovely lady lumps.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yep. My friend brought up a good point.
Oh, that, did she?
Yeah.
That your friend.
Uh-huh. Fergie, she gave us all hope that we could pee our pants in front of our crush and then marry him.
Wow. Really? You're going to come at that with that rumor again? With that conspiracy theory?
I'm sorry?
She was sweaty. She was on stage performing a little hard out to make people happy. She got sweaty. That's all.
Oh, okay. She made it okay to have a sweaty hoo-ha and still get your crush.
That's better. Sweaty okay. hoo-ha. By the way, they're going to be at the Troubadour this week.
Are they this week?
Yeah, they're opening up this.
Excellent.
This week of the sweaty hoo-ha.
Sounds like a mess.
Profiles in History has announced yesterday they are auctioning off Carrie Fisher's personal belongings, some of them anyway. A new 3-day auction runs October 7th through the 9th here in Los Angeles. This is pretty cool. Up for auction will be several of Carrie's personal copies of Star Wars scripts. There's one script called The Empire Strikes Back. That'll be hers that you can buy. That's expected to fetch between $30,000 and $50,000. We think it'll go higher.
Mm-hmm.
Another script from a little film called A New Hope. I'm not familiar with that one. A New Hope. Is that a Star Wars film?
I think they just called it Star Wars.
Oh, that's right.
When we were young.
Return of the Jedi script also up for grabs. So you can get all the original films, her versions of the scripts. It's probably got notes and stuff in it and everything.
Oh, Leia's hair's dumb. Like written in the
in the margins.
That'd be pretty cool to have, though.
I agree. Do you guys love Morgan Spurlock's documentary Super Size Me?
I didn't watch that.
Of course not. Had to do with facts and things.
and all food he eats.
I mean, that's true. Honestly,
he would never be able to eat if he saw that documentary.
I literally decided I like that food, so I'm not going to go see that movie.
So you just said I'm going to avert my eyes from the truth.
Yes.
Because it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What a life.
Wow.
Because I like what I eat.
You just go around
that
being
is some
you,
privilege right there.
Is it?
That you're able to. I don't know.
Well, there's a sequel coming that you won't watch called Super Size Me 2. Holy Chicken, it's called.
Oh, no. I like chicken.
See?
Well, you're not going to like
now
it after this.
Me.
This is about the chicken
side.
Industry.
Okay.
They're going to start with the McNugget, which, as we all know, it's like ground up knees or something. It's like chicken knees.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chicken in those, right?
They're going to look at other fast food chicken, where it comes from.
Okay.
And then they're going to visit a chicken hatchery. And then they're going to find out what it really means to have organic or free-range chicken, if there is such a thing, and much, much more. So it's a whole documentary about the wonderful world of chicken.
Okay.
I found out this weekend, and I guess I'm a sap for not knowing it, but cows and beef is a bigger problem for global climate change than cars are. Did you know that?
Because of gas?
Yeah.
Not only because of the methane gas that they belch and fart, but also the water that it uses up, the enormous expanses of land that have to be set aside for them. The
cows suck.
The grain and the feed that they have to raise.
So
in
good
order
thing
to feed
we're eating
grain.
All of them.
No, you think you're missing
so eat
the
more.
Point.
Oh.
That's what they're saying is we need to eat less meat so that those natural resources won't be wasted on cows.
It's science.
It was science. And when Adam Yauch, MCA of the Beastie Boys, passed away, he stipulated in his will that the group's music could never be used for any advertisements of any kind. Well, so much for that.
Uh-oh.
Adweek says Mike D and Ad-Rock gave their okay for the Beastie Boys track Sabotage to be used in a commercial for a video game called Destiny 2. Reportedly, the remaining Beastie Boys watched the two-minute mix of cinematic action and winking humor, and they gave it their blessing. So for the first time ever, the Beastie Boys track will be used in a commercial.
Makes sense for that product.
Does it?
Yes, it does, Ralph.
What about the fact that one-third of the Beastie Boys said, don't ever do that?
I mean, I think two-thirds...
F to dead, is that what you're saying?
Two-thirds wins the day, man.
Wow.
Right? Who's with me?
Not Adam.
I'm not looking around, seeing a lot of hands going up right now. Beastie Boys have already sued companies for using their music without the permission, like Monster Energy and Goldie Box. But this is the first time they've given their okay. So, but we've seen it in movies and stuff before. Because, like, I remember in Star Trek, Chris Pine. Remember when he's driving dad's car? Sabotage
was Pine. Yeah. It's like, take it to the bridge.
You didn't see that movie either, did you?
Nope.
You've never seen a Star Trek movie?
I've never seen a Star Trek.
Not an episode of the TV show either?
Mm-mm.
No, you're telling the wrong guy this.
How can you be such a hardcore Star Wars fan and not at least have a passing interest in the Star Trek franchise?
Their outfits look really scratchy. Like, it just, it didn't look comfortable. I could tell they were probably sweaty in between takes. It was too much.
As opposed to the black plastic encased helmet actor of Darth Vader. Did he look comfortable?
He wasn't an actor. He was Darth Vader. That's who he is.
This is why you fail.
Thank you. You're the lady.
Fire must cleanse us.
Right?
Right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Prince Harry's 33. Tom Hardy is 40. Tommy Lee Jones is 71, as is director Oliver Stone. And Lisa Vanderpump celebrates her 57th birthday. Sharp as a tack.
Yep.
What's up?
Tarp as a shack. I'm Ralph Garman. Happy weekend, everybody. I walk the showbiz beat.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win. How do we all win?
For the love.
We all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all.
We all just won.
During your drive home.
Don't guard the joint, my friend.
How do we all win?
Pass it over to me.
Megan Fox, what do you have? Weird thumbs.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Where's the outrage there?
Roll another one.
Coochie coochie.
Just like the other one.
In my opinion, that sucked.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Why?
And I need another hit.
Jay Hutz!
Jayhawks!
Jayhawks! Jayhawks!
Roll!
Mug here.
Ugh, this guy's the worst.
I don't have another cent.
Why do you think the song in Paris is called Paris? Because it's in Paris.
What are you going to do for 69?
Oh, no.
Please, Kevin, not in the face.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Thanks again for the party. I need to not be here anymore.
You know what? This conversation is over. I'm really not interested.
I don't care what you want. I don't care what they want. It's over. Let's go.
Let's go. Come on, let's go. No time for fooling around. Let's hustle. Let's go. Let's hustle.
He's down on the phone.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
So stick around. We'll both be right back.
I love you, Poppy.
That must have been a moment of party.